Good morning. You know what? Before we get started, why don't I pray for us? Greg and I were saying that we were both forgetful prayers. We get rolling and we get all excited about something and we forget to stop and pray. So why don't we do that now? Father in heaven, thank you so much for your grace and your goodness and your mercy. Thank you that we're able to gather here this morning as couples, as your children, God, to hear from your word. We pray, God, that as we open your word this morning, that you would speak to our hearts and that your word would continue the work of transforming us and transforming our marriage into the image of Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Okay. Goodness. So, I'm going to spend a little bit of time and kind of linger on explaining a metaphor that we're going to develop over the next 5 weeks, and you'll see as we go along. I think you'll understand why I'm going to spend so much time on this. The picture up here, I don't know if you can see it well. Can you guys see the difference in the colors of the waters there? Okay, so with this picture, like a little clearer there. This picture is of a place called the Meeting of the Waters. And it's just east of Manaus, which is the capital of the state of Amazonas in Brazil. And just east of Manaus, when these two rivers, the Rio Negro, the Black River, and the Rio Solimões meet with each other, they become the Amazon River. Now, on our maps, on our English maps, it'll say that the Amazon is actually one of those two rivers, but it's not. Where they meet, it becomes the Amazon. Now, the crazy thing is that these two rivers meet there, they become the Amazon, but they don't actually mix up for quite a long time. There's a picture from an aerial photograph. Now, there's a reason that they don't mix, and it's a three-part reason. So, first, the river on the left, the Solimões, is faster than the Rio Negro. It's cold, or at least colder than the Rio Negro, and it's got a lot more sediment in it, so it's more dense. The Rio Negro, on the other hand, is slower and warmer and less dense. And because of those differences, when the waters hit each other, they don't actually mix right away. And it takes quite a long time for them to mix. I'll show you that in just a second here. We're going to do a flyover of the distance that it takes for these things to actually mix up with each other. If you were to take a boat, and I've done this, if you take a boat and sit kind of right there in the middle of where they mix, and put your hand in one side and your hand in the other side, that you can tell the drastic, it's like 10 degrees difference in temperature between the two rivers. It's the craziest thing. It's the craziest thing. Now, here's a little flyover here, leaving Manaus, and you can see the two rivers, the satellite. And they're still not completely mixed. Almost getting there. And almost. And we're there. And we're mixed. Now, the interesting thing about this to me when I look at these two rivers is that when they meet, they're the Amazon. We say, that's the Amazon. But they're actually two rivers. And it's not until, they say about 7 kilometers, about 4 miles, before they're pretty much mixed. But you can track it along in the satellite, and there's still traces of two different rivers for almost 80 miles before they're completely mixed up. Now, when I looked at it, I thought, you know, they are the Amazon right there, and they're becoming the Amazon. They're becoming one river. And so that's the metaphor that I want to develop with you guys over the next 5 weeks, is the idea of this meeting of the waters and how that relates to us coming together as husband and wife. When we come together, we're bringing in different temperature, different speed, different density, right? We're bringing in a lot of different things into this marriage. And there at the altar, right, the pastor says, I now declare you husband and wife. And at that moment, you are husband and wife. And God says, and we're going to get into that, and we're going to look at Genesis 2:24 today, God says that the two shall become one. But that blending of lives doesn't happen instantaneously, which you're all witness to, right? Yeah, amen. So we're going to start to look at that and focus on what God's purpose is in this meeting of the waters that we call marriage. And, you know, rivers have a lot of things about them. And you guys talked at your tables as we were getting started. You know, different aspects of rivers, different qualities of rivers. There's a lot of turns. There's rapids. There's places where the river widens out. There's all of the other things about a river as far as its ecosystem and how the sediment settles out in certain places and the types of plants that are growing around it and how that all plays into it. So we're going to go through and we'll probably pull in a lot of other river metaphors into this. But the idea that we're going after here, we're going to talk about in Genesis 2:24, is this idea that there is a process of becoming one. We're declared one, and God is making us one. So we're going to start off right here, Genesis 2:24. Very familiar. Pastor Minner's been in Genesis for, what, the last 7 weeks? And so we're gonna go back. He was on this a few weeks ago. Genesis 2:24, for this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So, we're just going to pull it apart. For this reason. So, whenever you see something like that, you got to wonder, for what reason? So you got to go back and you got to look at the context. And the context of for this reason is that God, after he had created everything and he had created man, looked at man, and it was the first thing, Adam's aloneness was the first thing that God said was not good. He said, it's not good that the man is alone. And so we look at the text, and it says that God caused Adam to fall into deep sleep, and he removed part of Adam to make Eve. And when Adam saw her, he said, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, right? She's my DNA. We're one. We're from the same stuff. And what I get from that is that God saw that. God saw man's loneliness, and he saw that it wasn't good, and he remedied it. He had a remedy for that, and the remedy was Eve and their oneness. And so his idea, God's plan from the beginning, was that we would be one. And what we spend our lives doing, in a lot of other aspects, even outside of marriage, is trying to get back to that beginning, trying to get back to the garden. As Pastor Minner said, trying to return to that oneness, because that's what God's plan for us is. His intention, his loving intention for us, is that we would be one. So it's for that reason that a man leaves his father and his mother to be joined and be joined to his wife. And be joined to his wife. The English language, and I didn't realize this until this week, I started looking around. The English language has more words than most other languages. Yeah, it's really high up there in the list of languages with the most words. And Hebrew does not have a whole lot. So they have one word, and that one word carries all kinds of meaning with it. Whereas we just take it and say, okay, well, that would be for us, that would be joined to, the verb to be joined to, and be joined to his wife. That's actually the word up there. I'm not going to try to pronounce it for you because I don't speak Hebrew. But there's less, probably a lot of ha right in there. Dabach. Be joined to his wife. And it has a meaning that is a little bit more rich than just to be joined. And this is what it is. It entails all of this: to pursue, to follow hard after, to overtake, to hold fast, and to stay with. Now, I know the first part of that, to pursue, like we all remember pursuing our bride, all right? And ladies, you remember what that was like, and you inviting the pursuit, or not, maybe, I don't know, right? But we all pursued, and eventually we overtook, or allowed ourselves to be overtaken. But the question is, how are we doing with holding fast? You know, we allowed ourselves to be overtaken. Are we allowing ourselves to be immersed in our spouse? Are we being diligent in keeping fast and holding fast to our spouse? Or are we too anxious sometimes to look for ways when things get hard, for look for ways to get out of the river ride? This wasn't the river ride I had in mind. I didn't think it was going to be like this. This isn't what I'd planned. And so as soon as it gets difficult, we start to look for ways to get out of the river. And when we do that, what we're doing really is short-circuiting God's plan and His desire for our oneness, because we can't see down the river. God's got that satellite view. He can see the 4, 5, 6 kilometers, the 80 miles down the river as well when these two rivers become one. And He's saying, stay in the river. I've got a plan, and the plan is for you to be one. But if you jump out too soon, you're never going to get there. You're never going to get there. So instead of stopping with pursue, we need to focus also on staying, holding fast to our spouse. So let's go back. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one. A couple of things I want to point out there. First of all, they shall. That's not a they might. God's intention is that you stay in this river, you shall become one. I'll make sure of it. It's going to happen. But it's a process. You shall become one. Remember, we go back that where those waters met, they were the Amazon. They're called the Amazon. They're declared the Amazon. When we stood at that altar and the pastor said, I declare you husband and wife, he said, you are one. And you're becoming one, is what God is saying. That this is a process, a lot like our own sanctification. And, you know, marriage is probably one of God's greatest tools for sanctifying us, right? That and having children. Woo! Had enough of sanctification. But God is saying they shall become one. This is a process. And again, if you try to jump out of the process before God has done His work, you're short-circuiting His plan for you. So for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother, be joined to his wife, and they shall become what? One flesh. One flesh. Now, another good Hebrew word. Also not going to try to pronounce that one. I think that was even a little bit more difficult than the first one. So one flesh. The word one there carries a lot of additional meaning to it that we don't get with just one. For us, one is one. It's the number one. But for the Hebrew reader of that text, it's united, integrated, merged together. And that can occur in a lot of different planes. Remember, we said our two rivers were different in their speed, in their temperature, in their density. Their pH is actually different between the two waters, which is crazy. But if you take a water sample downriver, if you go far enough downriver, those two things even out. You can still see, and you probably notice in there, you can still see little traces of differences on the margins of the two rivers. So the rivers didn't lose themselves. They didn't disappear. One of them didn't overtake the other one and dominate the other one. They became one. You had two things like this that over time and rapids and twists and turns and ups and downs and all kinds of other struggle became one. They became united. And for us, that unification is not obviously in speed or temperature or density, although my wife probably would tell you I'm sometimes pretty dense. I don't know. But it's emotional. It's intellectual. It's physical. That oneness happens on all of those planes. You don't cease to be you, but you're also not the same you you were at the beginning. I'll repeat that. You don't cease to be you. I'm not. This isn't a saying, hey, you just give up your personality. No, but you are a different you than you were at the start. Now, I'll give you an example. This Patricia and I were going through a premarital counseling training, looking at a premarital counseling inventory that we wanted to use at the church. And so as we went through the training, part of the training was that we would actually do the inventory on ourselves after 23 years of marriage. So we said, okay, this will be fun. So we, you know, we pulled it up on our computers separately and started answering all these questions. And one of the things that both of us, as we came back together later, we noticed was that, you know, there was a lot of questions there that I would have answered differently 23 years ago. But I answered them this way today because this is how I am today. This is the me I am today. And the crazy thing is that when we looked at the report said it's got this little thing on there that's your marriage momentum, right? Do you have good marriage momentum? So I think it's pretty funny. We were like, bam, we had great marriage momentum. And I'm like, this is fantastic. But when I looked at the questions that made up marriage momentum, they were the ones that I would not have answered that way, and she would not have answered the way she did 23 years ago. And I said, you know what, 23 years ago, we would have been like red flags all over the place. They would have been like, no, you know, different spiritual background, different language, different culture, different upbringing. I mean, all of those things. My parents, when we were engaged, my parents had just been recently divorced. I mean, like every red flag that you can think of was like, but 23 years later, what happened? God was doing a work in us. And it, you know, it's not, again, I'll say, it's not that you're losing yourself, but you are losing yourself in we. You're losing the me in the we. And we becomes more important to you than me in this process of blending, of meeting of the waters. So, I'm going to pull up here, and I purposely, I'm doing good on my time, because I want to give you guys lots and lots of time to talk at your tables. But this is the, you've probably never heard of this translation, the NMT, it's the New Myers translation. And here's how Genesis 2:24, in my translation, it's a little bit longer. Because it is God's original loving desire and design, a man shall leave his father and his mother and pursue, overtake, and hold fast to his wife, and she to her husband, and they shall, through a sometimes painful process, willed and empowered by God, become united and integrated into one flesh. Amen? Amen. So next week, we're going to talk a little bit about what God has in mind for each of us, sort of along this winding river. And we'll be developing that as we go along through the next several stages. And but I want to give you guys plenty. The part of the important part of Homefront in general, but also particularly this message, is for you guys at your tables. Because at all of these tables, we've got all kinds of ages and stages of marriages here and experiences. You all have something important to contribute to the conversation. So I want to give you guys plenty of time to do that. But before we do, let me just pray for our table talk, and then we'll get going. Father, we thank you again that you declare us one flesh. But God, that you are in the process of integrating and uniting us. I pray, God, that you give each of us the courage, the patience and the perseverance and the grace to stay in your flow, to hold fast to our spouse, even in the rapids, even when things are painful. Because, God, we trust that there will be a time when the river will widen and that we'll enter your rest and we'll be able to look back and we'll be able to see the great things that you've done and rejoice in them. God, we know that you have a plan for our marriages, and we know that that plan is oneness. So God, we ask that you would help us to embrace that, embrace your plan for us, for our marriage, for our lives, for your glory. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.